But first, after months of speculation, it's become official. The Bureau of Meteorology has declared that Australia will enter its third successive La Niña cycle. Experts have predicted that it will peak in spring and end the wet season in February or March. Although this means higher rainfall in eastern Australia in particular, weather patterns of El Niño and La Niña have the strongest influence on year-to-year climate variability for most of the country. Cindy Yin has more.
Dr. Margaret Cook, lecturer at University of the Sunshine Coast, says that having two La Niñas in a row is fairly common, but three is far more unusual. Although there isn't much historical precedent to look back on, records show that there have only previously been two triple La Niñas in Australia since 1900.
The issue with having three La Niña years in a row is that we haven't had a chance for things to dry out. And so the issue for us at the moment is that our rivers are quite full, as are our creeks and our dams, and the ground is quite wet. So what happens is that if we do get rain, we get a much higher increased runoff rate and a higher chance of flooding, but that's not guaranteed.
And despite how flood-weary Australians already are, we may have to deal with another season of floods. So how might this impact us?
People who live on the floodplain are affected by floods because their houses get inundated or their businesses are flooded. It also brings incredible emotional and mental challenges because losing your possessions or family lives in a flood is devastating. It's also wearing. If you have lived through a flood, you're going to have a long period of cleaning up and recovery. And so it's very emotionally wearing as well. They're exhausting things. And so when we have La Niña years with the predictability of rain, it's emotionally charged times two.
Dr. Margaret Cook also suggests that while there are no absolute certainties in climate predictions, Australians can create strategies to deal with possible flood warnings.
One of the things that the research does show is we do get flood fatigue, but what can be worse is not knowing that they're coming. So the good news, if we're looking for some good news, is that we've now got plenty of warning. People should start thinking about a flood plan. So think about what's precious to you, get it ready so you can evacuate, know where you're going to go, think ahead, maybe clean your drains and get ready, because that will reduce the damage in the future.
And it's not just the floods. La Niña also significantly impacts agriculture and food security in Australia. For example, Australia's food bowl in southeast Queensland, the Lockyer Valley, has seen much flooding, leading to increased food prices. Dr. Andrew Borrell, Professor of Crop Science at the University of Queensland, says that higher rainfall and wet conditions will make it difficult for farmers to plant and harvest their crops. Farmers who were previously expecting a year to economically recover now cannot, with another La Niña in sight.
For farmers, the most expensive thing they do is plant, and the second most expensive thing they do is harvest. So if they've got to replant, that's a significant issue and a big cost for a farmer. So from the perspective of a farmer, just the continuity of operations is difficult. So if a farmer knew the conditions were going to be a bit warmer, and that was consistently so, they could modify their operations. And the same if it was going to be a bit cooler or a bit wetter. So they might have a number of years where it's extremely dry, followed by a number of years where it's very wet. And it's that extreme variability which is the toughest thing for them to manage.
La Niña will then affect supply chains, which translates to higher costs for consumers. If conditions are wetter than normal, soils become full of water, leading up to the point where crops are sown.
So if farmers are unable to get their large machinery onto the field in order to plant a crop, then that crop may not be planted. Other times, farmers will be able to sow, but if they get heavy rainfall during the crop and they're not able to harvest it, then again, they will not be able to get that crop off, and that crop, that food's not going to end up in the supermarket. So I think just from the understanding the physical aspects of higher rainfall and how it impacts sowing and harvesting of crops, you can see that it can have a significant impact on the supply chain.
One solution is designing crops better adapted to future climates. Much of Professor Borrell's research centres on this, examining plants that have mechanisms which can effectively balance water supply and demand. Right now, there is a lot of research happening in northeastern Australia on sorghum, wheat and barley. One drought adaptation called Staygreen is equipped with this mechanism.
Crops that have this drought adaptation mechanism are able to keep their leaves green for longer under drought. These crops often have less branching, so a fewer number of stems and fewer leaves, so they can conserve their water and they can use that conserved water to fill the grain when the crop is running out of water under post-flowering drought. And it also affects the root systems, so the roots do have narrower angles and can go deeper. So in a crop like sorghum, that's already an important strategy that farmers are using. So we can see that mechanism is operating already in some of our major crops in Australia.
Dr. Andrew Borrell, Professor of Crop Science at the University of Queensland, ending that report by Cindy Yin.